base it on a statement made by Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 20. This morning, I call your attention again to the 2 Corinthian letter in the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. We've been using this now. This is the third lesson that we have presented. We're presenting a series of lessons on the grace of liberality, and of course we're talking about giving. And the apostle says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So here the apostle points out that we are to abound in our giving. This is something that we are to grow in. We are to learn to give more and more to the Lord. And I'm not preaching anything that's new in these morning lessons, but I am simply refreshing your memory and bringing to your mind things that you already know that are very, very important. The Apostle Paul said, not Paul, but Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and in verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. So we need to have our pure mind stirred up. He said in the third chapter of this epistle, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And so we have to be stirred up, and we have to be put in remembrance of things that we already know. This is what preaching is all about. And so we see we are to abound more and more in our giving. And as we begin to look at this subject now in a little deeper study than we have before, the New Testament commands us to give liberally. Let me just call your attention to the Roman letter. Go with me now to the 12th chapter of the Roman letter and look at verse 8. Now, I'm going to read the King James Version, but if you have the New King James Version, it will read liberality. Now, notice what he says. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, the King James says. But the New King James says, he who gives with liberality. So we see then that we are commanded to give liberally. We are to give with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we see the Bible commands us to give liberally. Let's go to the 2 Corinthian letter in the 9th chapter and in verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So the Bible talks about us giving liberally. It talks about us giving bountifully. And he points out that if we give sparingly, we will reap sparingly. And the blessings of God will not be ours if we do not learn to give liberally. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we see then that the Bible commands us to give bountifully. It commands us to give liberally, and we are to grow, as we started out in our text, we are to grow in this grace. We are to abound in this grace also. And so we need to look at our lives. We need to ask ourselves, are we abounding more and more? Are we growing? Do we give liberally? You know, many times we like to do like we have already studied. We'd like to spend on ourselves. We'd like to take care of ourselves first, and then we take care of the things of the Lord if there's anything left over. Going back as we looked at the rich farmer in Luke 12, and as we pointed out then, he did not receive his money in any ungodly way. He received it in a very honorable way. He made a big crop, and no doubt that entailed a lot of labor and a lot of work, but he simply thought about spending it on himself. He was very stingy when it came to others. In fact, he didn't even think about doing anything for others. He didn't do anything for God. He didn't do anything for his fellow man. He was not generous. He was not open-handed. And that's the idea of generosity. We are to give bountifully. We are to give generously. We are to be open-handed in our giving. And many times we're not. We need to understand that our giving, in our giving, we have fellowship with each other. We share the responsibilities in this congregation. As we go back to the second chapter of the book of Acts and verse 42, this is what Luke gives us the record of concerning the church when it first came into existence. He says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." I want you to mark that word fellowship. "And in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now the idea of fellowship here means a sharing. That's the idea. And the idea is the sharing of their material goods. Each member of the church is to share financially in the burden of the local church. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. He says in verses 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," he says, "let every one of you lay by him in store." Now I want you to notice what he says, "let every one of you," every member of the church is to share. And that includes young people. You know, the time to learn to give is when you are young. When you are young, when you have your first job and you don't have much money, that's the time to learn to sacrifice. You may say, "Well, now, I've just got this job and I don't make very much money, and I don't know." Yes, you have a responsibility, every member of the church. And if you want to learn to give and to abound in this grace also, learn to give when you're young. Learn to give when you first begin to make money. In fact, it is your obligation and your responsibility to give. And so everybody is to share, every one of you, lay by him in store, or to lay a proportionate part, you see, in the common treasury is what's under consideration. And each member is to give as he has been prospered, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, we are to share, of course, according to our ability. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and look at verse 12. He says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now we're not talking about somebody giving something they have not, but giving according to what we have, according to what our ability is. Now, everybody is to share in the expenses of the local congregation. Everybody is to share, you see, according to that he hath, according to what his ability is. Let's look at another passage that emphasizes the necessity of every disciple giving according to his ability. Go to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. And look now to about verse 29. This has to do when Antioch was making up money to send down to the churches of Judea. The record says, then the disciples, every man, I want you to notice this, the disciples, every man, according to his ability. Now, how did they go? Every man according to his ability. Every man according to what he had. Not according to what he had not, but every man according to his ability, every man according to what he had, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, what do we see here? We see a joint sharing, you see. We see a fellowship. That's going back to Acts 2 and 42. They continued steadfastly in what? In fellowship, in the joint sharing of their means according to, you see, their ability. And so God expects of me to give according to what my ability is. Go with me now to Matthew 25. Look at verses 15 and 14 rather, and 15 of Matthew 25. The record says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now notice, he gave into the hands of his servants his goods. Now that's exactly what God has done. We've established the fact that all the goods that are in this earth belong to God. And God now has delivered his goods into our hands. We are simply his stewards. And he says, unto one he gave what? 5 talents. And to another 2. And to another 1. Now he gave this these talents out. How? The record says, to every man according to his several ability. In other words, to every man according to what his ability was, you see, he gave these talents and straightway took his journey. Now, you and I have ability. Every one of us have ability. Every one of us, we have goods committed to our hands. Every one of us have a responsibility. We will give an account. Read on in this account. What happened? Every man gave an account of how he used what was put into his hands. You read on, you find there was the man who had the ability to handle 5 talents, and he went and traded with the same, and he gained another 5. And there was a man that had the ability to handle 2, and he went and traded and gained another 2. And the 1 talent man, he simply hid his, you see. He did not use it. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And so he did not put it to use. And when the Lord, of course, call them to account, he, of course, was not prepared. He had not used the money and had not gained anything. And so we see then that we have a responsibility, every man according to his ability, is to what? Is to jointly share in the work of the Lord. Now, all don't have the same ability, but whatever our ability is, God expects all of us to have a part in this work. Now that's a lesson that needs to be learned. As I pointed out, he expects the young, he expects the old, he expects the middle-aged, he expects everybody. He blesses us, and he then puts the responsibility upon us to jointly share and have fellowship. We are to continue in fellowship, in the joint sharing of our means, in the financial burdens of this congregation. You know, I'd hate to be a part of a congregation and not share in my proportionate part. And I have been a part of congregations when I knew there were brethren who did not even start to share their end of the load. And it's a shame. I have worked at places where men had good jobs, like working for Reynolds Metal Company, making just tremendous amounts of money. And in days gone by, and I'm sure they still pay tremendous amounts of money. But you remember back in the 70s, I lived in Florence, Alabama. We had Reynolds Metal. At that time, we had a Ford that had a parts. I believe they made parts there, and those fellows made good money. And on, we could name TVE, and going on, we could look, and many men who had great jobs. When it came to sharing the financial end of the work, they were not there. And that's disturbing. Why? What I'm trying to get over in these lessons is this: we'll lose our souls if we don't share in the financial burden of a congregation. Let me tell you something. When you become a Christian, that's part of being a Christian. If you don't want to use your money and give your life and give your money in the service of the Lord, then you can't become a Christian in the full extent of the of what the Bible talks about being a Christian. We just won't have hope if we don't jointly share. But it is terrible for people to make $1,000 a week and more, and then come and throw $20 bill in the collection plate. You know, that's a shame. Yes, it is. And we just need to recognize that we live in a land of plenty. But many times the last thing we have learned is to share. I talked to a woman this past week from another state. And I said, well, how's the church doing where you are? And she said, well, we got a good preacher, and that's good, and I have known the preacher in days gone by. But she said, I'll tell you what our trouble is. Our contribution is sure not what it ought to be. We just don't give like we ought to give. I said, well, how big are you? She said, we're probably about 85. I said, what's your contribution? $600 or $700 a week. You know, brethren have just not learned many places what their duty and responsibility is. And as Christians, we need to understand this is part of it. Learning to share and having fellowship in the work of the Lord. Now, self-consecration and love is the basis of our giving. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians letter in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians and look there, if you will, to the 5th verse. He says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, Paul gives the secret of the brethren in Macedonia their giving. The secret to their giving was they had first given themselves to the Lord. You know, it used to be an old saying, and it facetiously, and you understand when I say this, I used to hear preachers say back when I was younger, when you baptized a fellow, you ought to put his pocketbook in. When you baptized him, you ought to put his pocketbook in. And the point was, I said, I think you get the point. The point was, he needed to be converted. That's one of the things he needed to be converted on. Needed to understand what that responsibility was. But to be able to give of our means, the first thing we have to do is to dedicate ourselves. First, give ourselves to the Lord. You know, when these people gave, it was a gift of faith because it was a gift of poverty. Look there in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8. The record says, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Here were people in poverty, and the record says they abounded in liberality, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, these people were poor people. So you see then their gift was a gift of faith because their giving showed their dependence upon God. In other words, they didn't have a lot laid back. They were in poverty. The Bible says that. But they were depending on the fact that if they gave, God would also continue to take care of them. I think that's exactly what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, when he says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, I don't think Paul is teaching here what the evangelist, the sectarians teach over television, seed faith and all of that. But I think he is teaching that when Christians are dedicated and through faith they are willing to give their proportionate part into the common treasury of the Lord, then they're not going to be the worse for it. The Lord is going to continue to increase their goods that they may continue to be able to engage in the good works of the Lord. He's not promising here some fellow's going to drive a better car, he's going to get rich or live in a better house. He's simply pointing out that the fellow who gives as he should give will continue to be able to give. Let me read the verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, when we continually give as we should give, even though we are poor, the Lord is what? Is going to continually make us able to give and to carry on his work. And that's the whole point. As I've pointed out, this is God's work. And the way he chose to finance his work is by every Christian giving into the common treasury. And it is to be a gift of faith. You know, God wants us to be dependent upon him. He does not want us to become self-sufficient, because we're not self-sufficient. But he does not want us to get the idea that we don't need him. And whenever people get the idea they don't need him and not dependent upon him, they turn from him. And he wants us to recognize that we are dependent upon him and not feel sufficiency in our material things, as he would point out Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, you see. We are to trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's who we're to trust in. And that's who the Macedonians trusted in. In poverty, they were able to reach down and give liberally. Why? Because they trusted God that he would multiply and give back into their hands the goods and more than they had even given, you see. And so that's what we need to do, is to have faith and
We've studied and looked at the widow in Mark 12 already, and we see that the Lord was observing as they cast into the treasury, and we see that this poor widow, when she cast in, he says in verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples, this is Mark 12, 43, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. Indeed this was a gift of faith, because she didn't know where she was going to get the next meal. She didn't give more in value, but she gave more in proportion to her means, and she showed more love for the cause of the Lord, and more self-denial, and more sincerity in what she did, and she trusted God to supply her wants. And that's what really God wants us to do. You go back to Matthew 6, and I'm not going to have time to go into that this morning, but Matthew 6, you see, there he points out that we are not to serve two masters. I might look just a little bit at it there in the beginning. You see in Matthew 6, 24, he says, No man can serve two masters. And what he's warning us about again is the service to mammon. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then he begins to tell us not to be anxious about our lives from the material standpoint. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or don't be anxious for these material things, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You stop to think about it. Is not life more than meat? And is not the body greater than raiment? Well, who gave life and who gave the body? God did. And if he gave these, is he not going to also be able to give what it takes to sustain them? He says, Behold the fowl of the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What's he telling us? Children of God. And this is who he's addressing, children of God. God is going to take care of us. You know, he is the Almighty. He is the one that has all power, can do all things. Sometimes I think we forget about who we serve, who God is. And we forget that he is the Almighty, that there is nothing impossible with the God which we serve. And the God of heaven is going to take care of his children if his children do their duty. You know, I have never known of anybody that ever went hungry or went without or were in a bad shape because they gave to the Lord. Have you? You know, I've been trying to preach the gospel, I guess this is about the 39th year of it. And you know, the Lord has taken care of me over and over and over. He's taken care of me. I'm amazed at what the Lord has done for me from the financial standpoint. And he will take care and has taken care of you. We have this morning in the audience Brother Persall and his family. He's a preacher. He's down in Coleman County. He was raised in Coleman County. I started out, did some of my first preaching in Coleman County. And after I moved back to Florence, I went down to Coleman County. I went to Vinemont to hold a meeting. I'd gone down to go with a new work in Florence. I went down on short money. And I had a meeting booked in Coleman County, probably 75 miles from Florence. I went down and I had to borrow $20 to go to the meeting. I may have told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. The Lord blessed me. $20. I got down there and I started the meeting, and one of the elders said, I want you to eat with me tomorrow morning. Breakfast. I went to breakfast with him. He said, you remember years ago when you lived here, he said, you remember we bought this several acres of land out here, and said, had in mind to start a Bible school. And said, you put some money in it. I said, I don't remember putting a thing in it. He said, you put money in it. We've sold the land. What we're doing is that folks we know about, we're giving their money back with interest. And said, here's your $200 and something. And more than that, he said, you see that old car sitting outside there, that old Plymouth? He said, when you leave, you can have it. They paid me well for the meeting, and I run up on another fellow and give me $50. I come back to Florence doing all right. And you could also tell stories. That same time, I was working on short money in the early 70s there. That same time, I came up to this state to hold meetings. I came to 12th Street. I held a meeting at 12th Street. They paid me good. I come on to Manslick Road, and Dave, y'all paid me well. It was needed, but the Lord supplied it. Over and over, we could all look in our own lives. We will not suffer when we will act upon faith. When we will give to the Lord and give and involve ourselves in the work. And sometimes we never receive the blessing because we're not willing to launch out, we're not willing to exercise our faith. God is the example for all of us to liberal giving, Him and His Son. When you begin to think about God, what He has given, first and foremost, think about what He gave. He gave the choice jewel of heaven. He gave His only begotten Son to come to this low land of sin to live and to die that you and I might live. And I think that needs to sink home to many of us. You think about the condition we would be in if Jesus had not come. If God had not given His Son for us, we would not have any hope of eternal life. Not only has God given His Son, but the God of heaven has given us life. He's given everything that is necessary to sustain life. Notice in Acts 17, beginning with about verse 24 and 25, the record says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all. Now notice what He gives. Notice He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Think about it. He gives us what? Life and breath and all things. And that's what we've been emphasizing. Not only does he sustain our material life, but He sustains us spiritually. And that's what you and I must understand. We must see that we're instruments in His hand. We're instruments. And if we will let God use us, He will use us. He can't use us unless we will let Him use us. That's right. We need to see that we have a responsibility. A responsibility. We have a responsibility with our material things, and God has set the example. Well, let me look at something else before I close this lesson. Why men do not give liberally? Well, number one, a lack of teaching. Enough teaching has not been done on the subject. Parents have a great responsibility. I'll tell you, sometimes recent parents have not done this. They've not given as they should give. And I'm going to tell you, your children will give just like you give. Now, I've preached long enough to know that. If you don't make sacrifice, and if they don't see you making sacrifice, I'll tell you the kind of givers they'll be. Oh, there are exceptions to all rules. I realize that. But they'll wind up with the same attitudes toward giving that you have. And that's what's wrong with the church. There are many people in the church who have the same attitudes, and the same attitudes have been in the family down through the years. And you can just name some families, and of course they nearly hit the ceiling every time a preacher preaches a series of sermons like I'm preaching here. Why? They don't want to hear it. Because they don't want to face what the responsibility is. Bible teachers have a responsibility. Elders have a responsibility. And the elders here have taught. And Brother Lehman has spent a lot of time teaching on giving and has done a lot of good in this congregation. And I commend what the elders have done and the teaching that he has done. But we need to see the responsibility. And I want to give you an illustration. Now, this come to my attention this past week. Down in Alabama, I went to Alabama, you know, the first part of the week, and we stayed with Sarah's sister. Sarah's sister worked for TVA for many, many years, 40-something years, 41, I believe. But she told this story. Back as a young woman, of course, she went to school. She went to school in Florence, and she stayed with one of her aunts who was a godly woman, a good woman in many, many respects. But she had great admiration for her aunt. But she observed her aunt. This shows you how much teaching was going on 40-something years ago in the church about giving. But she observed her aunt, and her aunt gave 50 cents. So when she got her a job, what did she begin to do? She gave 50 cents. But then she wasn't long until Brother Lindsey Allen, he still lives, he's an old man, he still lives in Florence. But he was preaching then for the old Pine Street Church. And Brother Allen, he preached on giving. Oh, and she said, I felt so guilty. I knew that I had not even started to do what my duty was. And she said, that lesson taught me what I ought to do, and then I began to give, and then tried to make up what I hadn't been giving. Now, if you think lessons like this are not needed, then you don't know much about people. And you don't know sometimes how ignorant we are of what our duty is. That's the reason we need to be taught. Young people need to be taught. And by teaching lessons like this, people can be taught what their duty is. And so she said, then I began to see what my duty was toward sharing in the common giving into the common treasury and having fellowship and sharing in the work of the local church. So we don't give many times because we have not been taught, a lack of teaching, many times selfishness and personal pleasure. You know, many times members of the church, they spend more each week on personal pleasure than they give to the Lord, and it used to be, and I thank God we don't have if we have any smokers here, I don't know a lot about it. But I have preached in years gone by before brethren understood just what smoking was all about. They, of course, would come and have their lucky strikes. You could see them, you know. sticking out, and they'd spend more money for their lucky strikes than they would dare give to the Lord. That's just one end of the pleasure. Oh, yes. Brethren, we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, are we selfish? Do we spend more on our personal pleasure than we give to the Lord? The apostle said, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, he says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. You know, there's some self-denial. I can't have everything. As a Christian, I must deny myself many things to do the work of the Lord. I must deny myself some personal pleasure that I might help with the work of the Lord. False pride and extravagance, keeping up with friends and neighbors many times, and there's not enough left over for the Lord. And then poor management. The average man will make more than it takes for him to live on. The Lord anticipated that. He said in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And then stinginess and the love of money. And Paul warns about that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, 9 and 10. And then the consequences. The consequences of not giving liberally is the church has robbed of progress. Of progress. Many times the church just cannot do what it would be able to do if folks would simply give. Many times men are inadequately supported. The gospel is not sent to certain to communities. Sometimes churches that are able could preach if the members would give. I mean, they are able if members would give. They could be preaching in neighboring communities. Sometimes even neighboring communities go without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because members fail to give. Many times foreign countries go without the gospel because members fail to give. Now, we need to ask ourselves, what is God going to think of us when we stand in the judgment? When it comes to this area of our lives, when we give an account of our stewardship, when we stand before Him and we have lived in America, and we have lived in the land of plenty. Oh, yes. It is so plentiful. I cannot hardly imagine how it used to be. And I know how it used to be. I've been there. Oh, yes. I've been to the, when folks lived, the members of the church, they lived in old open houses. I've been there when families, many times, nearly every family in North Alabama, they used to have an old bench back behind the table. That's where the children sat. And you just think about the no air conditioning and things of this nature. Where we've come from. It's a sight of what I've seen. You think about what David Harrison and Bandy's seen over here, and some of the others have seen. We live in a good time. Are we? How are we using all of this good stuff? We're going to give an account. Are you giving your proportionate part? Are you putting the Lord first? Are you making sacrifice in your giving? I believe Hebron Lane, that's the reason I'm preaching these lessons, I believe Hebron Lane won't have any problem meeting its budget. We won't have any problem giving $1,800 a week. We oughtn't have any problem giving $2,000 a week. If we will be dedicated, if all of us will see what our duty is along these lines. And I don't want to stand in judgment and you look at me and say, well now Donald, you didn't teach me, you didn't tell me what my responsibility is. I'm going to try to tell you. And then the responsibility will rest upon you. But if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you need to become one. You need to become a dedicated Christian, recognizing what your responsibility is in being a Christian, in helping spread the gospel of Christ. If you're here and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confess your Lord before this good audience. We'll assist you in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're here in the erring child, won't you come as we're standing as we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward.